Well, it's just a joy to be with you today and have this opportunity of sharing. And I remembered that the children and the young people will be in our meeting today, and that always thrills me. So I believe the children are going to get packs, but I have made the message so you can glean something from it, kids. So don't just switch off. Be listening, and that sheet of paper that Jackie will give you, you can fill it in. And so enjoy the meeting, everybody. I've always been challenged that when Jesus spoke, he had every age group represented and they were all a part of it. That's family, isn't it? So we just want everybody to glean from God this morning something for your heart, that you will go away from here challenged and strengthened in God. So why don't we just stand again and lift our hands to heaven and just open up our hearts to him now. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just pause in your presence. We open up our hearts to you. Lord, we want soft hearts, receptive hearts that can hear your word today, that your word might lodge in us and remain in us and change us. So, Holy Spirit, just breathe upon us now. Just take a moment. Breathe him in. Let him just come. We've been talking about him walking in the room, and he's here. Thank you for your presence, Lord. There's nothing like your presence. And we just tell you that we love you. Don't we, church? Whisper it to him. Tell him, I love you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. So thank you, Lord, for just blessing your word this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's wonderful, isn't it? He is here in our midst. I want to start today with just a simple little story. I've heard it more than once, and I found it online. Don't know who the author is. Don't even know how factual it is, but it's still got wonderful truth in it. This king, now is this interfering somewhere, Simone? Is that all right? Like that? Is that better? Is that okay? You can hear me okay? I love not having a microphone in my hands. So anyway, this king decided he wanted to ask the artists of his land to draw a picture of peace. Then he was going to award the best with an incentive, a prize, a reward. So many artists apparently really got stuck in and sent in their paintings to the king. Now, we're aware of some. Now, the first one, thank you, Margaret. Someone painted a beautiful picture of a mother and a baby representing peace. There are many sent in related to scenery, mountains and lakes. That's a wow, isn't it? Peace. And then there was another painting that was sent in. This one was a little bird sitting in a nest. And there's a big waterfall coming down behind it. And these aren't the actual paintings, by the way. I just had to try and find something that would do the job. But that painting, apparently in the original story, was there were storm clouds gathering and the wind was blowing and the rain was beginning to fall and the waterfall was gushing down, spraying, and I dare say that little branch he's sitting on is beginning to sway. And so the people all thought, oh, that mountain picture is so beautiful. The king's going to choose that. And it is a beautiful picture, isn't it? The king will choose that as representing the best picture of peace. But do you know the picture the king chose? The bird one. Because there's a little bird sitting in his nest, contented, at peace. And it was all happening all around him. But he didn't get disturbed. And whether the king knew it or not, by choosing that picture, he chose the best illustration of God's peace. Because God's peace is not the absence of noise. God's peace is not the absence of war and conflict. It's wonderful when that is there. But it's more about what's happening on the inside of us. It's an internal peace. So I have felt today as I was preparing that God was really just saying he really wants us, his people, to know his peace. He wants us to know how to access it and live in it. And it really fits in with the end time teaching that Wes has been bringing to us, because right there in Luke, it actually, we're talking about the end times, it actually says, men's hearts will fail them for fear because of what was coming on the earth. Anyone ever read that? And fear is not peace. So we, the people of God, belonging to the kingdom of God, must be people who know how to walk in his peace. And I would say it's a lifetime of learning from my experience. Even last year, that was a challenge to me. But I just want to talk to you about God's peace. And I want you to also be aware that in the Bible, there's over 400 references to love. But peace is coming up behind it. That's 60 difference. So peace is important when it comes to the Word of God. You know, our God is a God of peace. Now, you saw the picture of the lion up there. And you think, well, how does that relate to peace? It relates everything. Because God is a God of war, but he doesn't war out of a place of disturbedness and fear. He wars out of a place of peace. The God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. That verse has always puzzled me. God of peace. If we're ever going to go to war successfully, church, we must come from a position of peace. Accessing God's peace. And out of peace, we war. Is that good? So let's go to one of the Bible promises. Isaiah chapter 26. 3 and 4. I know this verse very well. It's a part of my life. How many of you know it? It's a very well-known, very, very well-known verse on peace. And we find it in Isaiah chapter 26. And then we'll go to the New Testament and look at a couple of places there. So let's read it together. This is talking of God. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Now it starts off by saying God promises to keep him, us, in perfect peace. Now that, it's not just peace, it's perfect peace. If you look up the Hebrew, it's actually shalom, shalom. Wow. It's like a double peace. It's a double portion of peace. And actually the word shalom is one of the names of God. He is Jehovah Shalom. Our God is a God of peace. But that word in the Hebrew, I have to just tell you this. I'm sure people will know it. It just doesn't mean tranquility and rest. It means a lot more than that. Now, if I get myself in a good light, there it is. Peace, shalom, means completeness, wholeness, health. It's an amazing word. How many of you know this about shalom? That's an amazing word. Welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfectness, fullness, rest, and harmony. That's what our God is offering us. He wants to keep us in soundness, completeness, and health, and safety. You name it, that's his peace. And he's such a generous God, he wants to share it with us. Jesus actually said, before he left, my peace I give to you. Jesus was telling his disciples, I want to share my peace with you. Isn't that beautiful? We often talk about Jesus wanting to share his love with us. But I have found in my experience that peace is as tangible as love. It's real. You know when you have peace on the inside, and you know when you don't. Because sometimes we lose it, don't we? God, we have it within, and then something happens, and we lose it. But then, as I said here, who does God keep in perfect peace? It's not everybody. But who? Those who have their mind stayed on you, sometimes we just stop there. So next bit, the bottom line is, because he trusts in you. Now, I remember one of the very last time I preached in a Sunday service here, beginning of last year, and it was on trusting God. I thought I'd learned some things about trusting God. But then I had quite an eventful year last year. Some of you will know I had some health challenges. I had a mysterious pain that took them about 5 months to discover what it was all about. And just at this point, let me just say thank you to all those of you who prayed for me. I have thanked ones individually and in the small groups, but never had an opportunity to thank all of you who prayed and stood with us through this time. But I learned something, that when you go through a brand new experience, there's another opportunity to learn to trust God in that particular situation. And that's what it was like for me. And how do we demonstrate our trust? You see, I can tell you today that our God is absolutely trustworthy. You might never have put your trust in him ever. And there might be a strange concept to you to put your trust in him. But you have to get to know him so you can. And the more you know him, the more you will trust him. And every situation that you go through, you will actually learn to trust him more as you let him. But the key is, whose mind is stayed on you? That's how you actually trust, because of what goes on up here in the mind, isn't it? Yeah. What does it mean to have your mind, your thinking, stayed on God, on his son Jesus? Some translations say it's to fix your mind on. Others say set your mind on. And so from my experience, trusting God, we can demonstrate it by what we're thinking about. And I would say many of you here, you could well have come into the room today and you could be have had a very troubled week, distressed week, fearful week, you know. What do we think about when we go through contrary circumstances like that, you know? Do we align our hearts and our minds with what we know God is saying, or do we forget? And fear comes rushing in. And I can tell you this from experience. Actually, I had some wonderful friends last year when I was going through certain things. They'd say, remember that message you preached about Sally? They would love to remind me that I had spoken on trust. And yes, but I would say I trust that my trust is even deeper today than it was over a year ago, because we are all growing in trust. And I love it, because we often just stop that verse, because he trusts in you. But the next one says, trust in the Lord forever. This is a lifetime thing, not just here, but in eternity. Why? For the Lord God is an everlasting rock. That pictures to me gigantic rock that never changes, never moves, immovable, totally trustworthy. He'll be there today and he'll be there tomorrow, and he was there, whatever, you know. And so, as I said before, our levels of trust really depend on how well we know him. And that's a lifetime journey. Amen? So how's your trust levels today? What's going on in your thinking? And how have you coped with some, well, Jesus called them tribulations and trials and things that have hit you just lately? So we're going to go now to a story I just love in the New Testament. It's a story of Jesus and his disciples. And I want to apply that verse to this story, which I know many of you will know. And young people, children, there's going to be a little video clip up there. And I believe you've got a picture in your pamphlet with this story in it with some questions. So listen carefully and you'll be able to answer the questions. So thank you, Margaret.
Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the east side. So they left the crowd and his disciples started across the lake with him in the boat. Some other boats followed along. Suddenly, a windstorm struck the lake. Waves started splashing into the boat and it was about to sink. Jesus was in the back of the boat with his head on a pillow and he was asleep. His disciples woke him and said, teacher, don't you care that we're about to drown? Jesus got up and ordered the wind and the waves to be quiet. The wind stopped and everything was calm. Jesus asked his disciples, why were you afraid? Don't you have any faith? Now they were more afraid than ever and said to each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.
Wow. That's a story you never get tired of, is it? So applying Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3 to that story, it's not hard to work out who was being kept in perfect peace. Tell me, Jesus, why was he able to be kept in perfect peace? I believe he was trusting his Father. He had heard very clearly from him You know, you're going to get on this boat and go with his disciples, and you go across to the other side of the lake. And he believed. He held it in his heart. And he thought, I don't have to worry. I don't know whether he had any understanding there was going to be a storm. I don't know that. But he was trusting his father, so he just goes to sleep. And I would imagine those dear disciples, as they set out on the evening, it was an evening, you can imagine maybe the sun was beginning to set, and they go out on this boat, and can you just, some of them in the boat probably thought, because there are other boats, we've got Jesus on our boat. They haven't. You know, they actually had the Prince of Peace with them. Did you know that? They had the one who wants to give peace actually in the boat with them. We all have him, Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have the Prince of Peace in us. So just putting it back to where we are today. But these disciples, why did they get into such a panic? Because, tell me. Yeah, they actually forgot what Jesus had told them, because he had clearly spoken to them that they were going to cross to the other side of the lake. That's the important part of the story, that they had the word of the Lord. Then the storm came up. And remember, some of those disciples were fishermen. They knew about this lake. They knew you could suddenly get a windstorm. But this one is like a 100-year event, we say, don't we? They'd never experienced anything quite so dramatic. And all of a sudden, they lost the peace they started out with. Because I can imagine them on that lake as the sun was beginning to set. Ever been on a lake? It was perfectly calm. It was a glorious evening. And I bet they had the same peace, Jesus' peace. We've got Jesus on a boat, all is well, enjoy. Then all of a sudden, you know, things can change so suddenly, can't they? Things can change very suddenly in our lives too. You know, everything can be just, it's so easy, isn't it, when the lake is still and the sun is setting. So easy, isn't it, to trust? But oh, it's another ball game when you're throwing a curve ball. And many of us in this place, you've been throwing curveballs in recent times. We all have. We've all experienced. Actually, Christchurch has been through so much in these years. In fact, I tell people that my two oldest granddaughters, in their lifetime, they have experienced how many earthquakes beyond number? They've experienced them, not personally, but they were so aware of the fires on the portholes. And then to top it all off, they had their moments of trauma when that terrorist attack happened in Christchurch. And then on top of that, now they've lived through a pandemic. Now, none of these things impacted my life when I was growing up. So this generation has been already thrown a lot. And so I trust that this generation coming after us is learning what it is to trust God in ways we never had to learn when I was the tender age of 13, 14, ever. You know, because it's such a different ball game. But those disciples, they let that storm get into them. So they lost all their authority. They couldn't deal with it. And so instead of trusting, they turned into fear. They believed in that storm that they were going to drown. They believed that, because they said, don't you care about us? It's almost like they began to doubt that Jesus even cared. And sometimes in storms, we can doubt that he cares for us. And if there's one thing we need to have anchored in our lives, that no matter what happens to us, we're absolutely convinced that nothing changes the fact that Jesus, Son of God, Father God, loves us intensely. It's a rock in our lives. You cannot shake it. And if you're not there yet, that's a journey to go on when you absolutely know that you're loved. And Paul himself said that, didn't he? He was absolutely persuaded that nothing could separate him from God's love. And we've got to get to that place. Otherwise, when you go through stuff, it's, oh dear, does he love me? I don't think he loves me anymore. Anyone ever had that? I have. That was a way back when my first husband was diagnosed with cancer. Oh, that was where I was at. I actually said, you know what I said to God? I said, well, I've served you all these years, and this is all I'm getting out of it, a sick husband. I remember that prayer so, and that was because I was doubting that he actually cared. I was doubting that he still cared. And this is what these disciples did in the middle of the storm. Don't you care? We can all drown, Jesus. You might drown too. Oh, you know. And so they, instead of trust and their minds being stayed, because they could have said, what did Jesus say? Oh, he said we're going to get to the other side. Oh, let's just trust him. Let's trust him. He knows what to do, you know. But they couldn't do it. They were learning. You see, they're in a process. And then their trust turned into fear and into unbelief. And that's a killer, isn't it? Fear and unbelief. We want to kick it out the door because it just robs us from the very peace and the trust factor that Jesus wants us to walk in. And so then they wake Jesus up. That must have been a delight. Who's going to wake him up? You do it, Peter. You wake him, Peter. Come on, come on. You know how to do it. No, John, maybe you should because you're quite close to him. Someone, I mean, I dare say they would, but like that, you know, who's going to wake up Jesus? Then they go up and say, don't you care? Don't you care about us? There's a dreadful storm. And Jesus, don't you love it? Oh, I just love it. He just gets up. And those words that he spoke as he woke up, he just said, hush. That's the word. I looked it up. Hush. Be still. I don't know whether he roared or whether he just said, he was speaking to the wind and he was speaking to the waves. He had peace on the inside of him, so he had the authority to deal with the storm. I tell you, you know, the Church of Jesus Christ, we need to grow in the authority that is ours. Who would agree? Yes. Have you ever spoken to the wind? Have you ever spoken to the waves? I'm sure some of you have. I remember speaking to the earth in the time of the earthquake, and people thought that was a bit strange. But I thought, look, if Joshua can tell the sun to stand still, I can speak to the earth. And so we need to grow, but I tell you, we're never going to be effective if the storm's in us. That's why he stood up as the Prince of Peace and just spoke the word, hush, be still. Must have been an amazing miracle. Because guess what? It was a perfect peacefulness. Everything went. It's like the waves just gave up and whoosh, perfect peace. Isn't that just so beautiful? The disciples say, they say, who is this? He can even command the wind and the sea. Who is he? We don't know this man. See, they didn't know him very well yet, did they? So they just didn't have their experience to be able to trust him when they were walking through this amazing storm. They weren't able to trust. But I've got good news for you. You see, they didn't have their mind stayed on Jesus, did they? On his word. Can you see how Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3 applies to it? You know, they didn't trust. Their minds were not stayed on what Jesus had said to them. But can we grow in peace? Yes, we can. There's a delightful story told of Peter. Now, Peter, I think, I'm quite sure he would have been in that boat, and he could well have woken Jesus up. And he, you know, he was right in the thick of things, wasn't he, always? But there's a delightful story that happens in Peter's life 15 years or so later, after Jesus has died, returned to heaven, and Peter is being used of God along with many of the other disciples to spread the message of Jesus. And of course, the authorities in those days did not like it at all. They thought they'd get rid of Jesus, and all of a sudden, wow, they all like Jesus now. We got rid of one, now we've got heaps of them, you know. And so they, you know, King Herod thought, well, this is a good opportunity. He actually killed James, who was the brother of Jesus and one of the leaders. Then he thought, well, the Jews really like that, the antis, you know. They really liked it. So he thought, I'll get hold of Peter and I'll put him in prison. And after Passover, I'll take him out. And he obviously, his intention was to kill Peter as well. Was this a scary situation? It was. So look, thank you, Margaret. Just put up that next verse. This is a beautiful story, but I'm not here to tell you the whole story today. But what was Peter doing in prison? Shall we read it together? Now when Herod was about to bring him out, on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. Wow. What was he doing? Sleeping in the midst of a storm. And I tell you, you can't sleep very well if you're not at peace. Anyone know that? Yeah. Well, I know that very well. So the more peace we have, the easier it is to sleep. And so how could he sleep? How could he have that? He was being kept in perfect peace, wasn't he? In the midst of a storm, his life was in danger, but he had perfect peace because he was trusting and he was what? He had his mind fixed on the promises of God. I bet he was remembering some of the things that Jesus had told him. He might have even gone back to that storm and thought, yeah, we didn't trust that day. Now I know Jesus a whole lot more. He can take me care of this. Look, if my life is saved, hallelujah. But if it's all over tomorrow, I'm going to see Jesus face to face because he told us that he was going to prepare a place for us. And I trust him. So he goes to sleep. I don't know whether I would have gone to sleep in that situation. Anyone else think you could have gone to sleep in that situation? But you see, what I'm trying to say is he's matured. He's grown in peace. He's grown in his knowledge of God so that now, actually this is from the very last time we actually hear of Peter in the book of Acts, sleeping between two soldiers. The church prayed for him though, and I'm sure this is a wonderful answer. I'm not here to tell the whole story, but the next picture, what happened? Peter is woken up by an angel and he gets delivered. Now, one day I just saw this and it just is so beautiful. Peter has now become like Jesus, and you've got a role reversal. They were waking up Jesus in the boat, and now God is waking up Peter in prison. Ha ha, hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? Does that thrill your heart? That every one of us here in this room, we can grow in peace no matter what happens to us, what happens in a nation, what happens in the world. In the world, oh dear, you know, we can be people of peace because Jesus has promised us his peace. We can have it deep on the inside of us. There's not one person here who wouldn't want peace. Whether you call yourself a Christian or not, we would all want peace. Who wants peace here? Oh, goodness me. To have peace in the midst of a storm, that deep inner peace. And I know there were times last year when I touched it, and it was just so very beautiful. When my mind became at rest, I was able to take hold of the promises of God and trust him for the outcome, even though there were many times I didn't really understand what was happening. And I tell you, there were a lot of fears uncovered in my life last year. I have prayed Psalm 34, where David actually said, he has delivered me from all my fears. And I thought, that's amazing. I should really pray that too. I'd love God to deliver me from all my fears. But then he has to expose them. One by one. And, you know, and we all know times of fear, you know. But wonderful to know how to get your mind stayed back onto the Lord and trust him and have his perfect peace. So what I want to do is to finish with some of advice that Paul gave. How do we live in God's peace? Now, Paul also had to grow in peace. Goodness, he had a lot of stuff to overcome. And he wrote these words when he was in prison. So there we are. He knew what it was to go through stuff. Very well-known verses again. Very well-known. But oh, it's another thing to live them, isn't it, church? I remember I've learnt this scripture verse off many years ago when I was teaching children. And so it's one thing to know the word up here. Another thing to be able to put it in practice in your life and to experience it for yourself. So, what does Paul say here? Don't worry about anything. Oh dear. I am so pleased I'm not telling you that today. That's the word of the Lord. It's written in the Bible. Don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't fret about anything, some of the versions say. You think, impossible, Sally. I'm given to worry. I worry a lot, you know. I get anxious about things. And someone just said to me, I think yesterday, we're living in an epidemic of anxiety. Who would agree? So much anxiety around, whether in the church or outside the church. But actually, when you come to reading what the Word of God says, we're told not to worry. In fact, Paul had all the authority in the world to say it because Jesus said it, didn't he? Don't worry. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink or what you're going to wear. Jesus actually said it. Don't worry. Because he's got it covered, you see. But then Paul gives us some timely advice. He tells us what to do. Instead of worrying, what do we do? You pray. And you pour it out. Sometimes when people go through stuff, they run away from God. That's not the answer. You run to Him and you pour it out. You pour out every detail of what's going on in your life. One thing I know about Jesus, He loves honest prayers. And there's one thing that I'd have to commend those disciples for on the boat. You might think, well, that was dreadful what they did. No, they were honest.
Yeah.
They just didn't sit there pretending, you know, oh, everything's well, hallelujah. They went and woke Jesus up. And sometimes we've got to have that spirit within us, that we are not just going to settle down. We're going to pray honest prayers. And we're going to tell God how we feel about stuff. And sales here, tell God what you need. And then thank Him for all He has done. This is how we begin to align our thinking again. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. So when how we get our mind stayed back on Him through prayer. And that conjures up to me intimacy with Him. Because when you pray, there's nothing like it when you actually get reminded of the Word of God, and when maybe the Holy Spirit drops His Word into your heart. There's nothing like hearing from God to bring peace to you. Anyone agree with that? When you hear, when He speaks a word of comfort to you, when He speaks a word of wisdom to you, you know, there's nothing like His word that brings peace back into our troubled hearts at times. I had some really bad news just a few weeks ago. Won't go into it. And I thought, oh, Lord, I don't really like either options here. And so I told Him what I felt about it. And one day, He just graciously just began to speak to me about it. I thought, oh, Jesus, thank you for speaking. And instantly I felt peace restored to me. I just love it when God speaks, you know. So when we say pray about everything, give God an opportunity to speak to you while you're praying, to bring His word back to you, to remind you, or to give you a fresh word on the situation. And then don't forget to thank Him. Thanksgiving is huge. Thank Him for what you know He's already done. Look back on your life and see His faithfulness, see His love, and give Him praise. Give Him thanks, you know, and thank Him in advance for what He's going to do in the situation. And in that, you see, it takes trust to pray like that, doesn't it? That's how we, you say, oh, I trust God. Well, one way we can really show Him that we do is by doing just that. Does it take trust to do that? It does. That He's big enough to take care of it. He's big enough to come alongside you and give you the answers that you're looking for. Then once we do that, this should be our very first answer to prayer. Not necessarily the answer that we're looking for, but the next one. What does it say? Then you will experience God's peace. You know, I looked at this verse, and there's a parallel between these verses and Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Can you see that? Because it says, which exceeds anything we can understand, and it's true, to have peace in the midst of a storm. You can't understand that, can you, really? You can't. It's just, it baffles our thinking. His peace, what? Will guard or keep your heart and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. There's that whole concept again of God keeping us and guarding us in peace. So you'll know, really, how well we've got through in prayer when peace comes. Because it's the first thing that happens. Then we will experience God's peace. And now we could all go home. It's all done. But no, the next verse is just as important. Because the peace now comes. And now, sometimes we separate this verse out. But I think it needs to be put on. What does it say? And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. What's that? Fix your thoughts. Keep your thoughts stayed in the right place. Oh, goodness me, couldn't we get stuck into this now? The first thing is, fix your thoughts on what is?
True.
Would you like to tell me what that word is?
True.
Could you say that a bit louder?
True.
Oh, we live in a day when what is truth? You know, there's been so much controversy over so many things. I just say, Jesus, I'm going to cling to you. You are the truth. We serve a God of truth. You know, what I have been staggered at over these last months is how we believe stuff. Is it God's truth or is it not? You know, is it God's truth? So we need everything we hear, we need to run it back to God and say, is this what you're really saying? Is this you or is it not? It's important what I'm saying. Fix your thoughts on what is true. And if you get stuck, just go back and think about Jesus, because he is truth and he will guide us into all truth. Oh, you've got, honestly, you wonder why we've got anxiety around? It's because of what we're listening to, what we're imbibing. I remember when my kids were growing up, Jackie would remember this, junk in, junk out. It's what you feed your mind with. So fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable. Wow. You know, right, just wonderful words, pure. So what are you looking at on TV? What movies are you looking at? You know, I'm very careful what I look at movie-wise, and this is just me, because if it's, you know, I can just go to bed and I'll just relive it. And it's not always pure. It's not always just. Sometimes it's really scary, isn't it, Wayne? He knows. He knows that I'm extremely selective on what I look at, because I'm the kind of person that'll just go to bed and think about it. And then I regurgitate it in my mind, and somehow I get myself in there. And I tell you, peace can just go out the door just like that. You know, so God, just wash my mind in your blood so I can get my peace back. And the Holy Spirit has said to me, what did you look at for? You know, now he has to, what did you look at it for? Because now he has to fix me up, you know. So, but everyone's different, and I'm not saying that's your story is my story. It's amazing how other people can do that and it's not a bother to them. Wayne loves certain movies that I wouldn't go through. I would. He knows. He has this wee man cave, so he can look at them in private. But, you know, is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? And, you know, we just got to have to say, Holy Spirit, in this day and age and what we're living in, monitor our thinking, because that's going to rob you of his peace, because your mind has not stayed on him. You know, haven't fixed your thoughts on him at all. Kira, you're nodding. You agree with this, do you? Good on you, girl. Yeah, yeah. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So when I was preparing this, I just so sensed the Holy Spirit was saying, he wants us to access his peace and live in it. Now, have you found some ways today how you can access it? Getting to know him in the situation where you're walking. And you live in it by aligning yourself up with him and pouring it out to him. Be listening. Listening to his voice, and then watch what you think about, because he can give you peace in this meeting, and you go out the door and something happens and you start to think about something else and peace evaporates. That's right. Thank you, Mayon. Yes. So how do we finish this meeting? I thought we're just going to do it. We're going to stand, and then I'm going to give you an opportunity just to pray, because actually, see, when Paul said, don't worry about anything, he was actually talking to people who obviously were worried. True? Well, people who are fearful or anxious or whatever. So he's giving us some clues as to what to do. So I think it'd be really lovely if we all stood in his presence. You can do that now. And maybe you're okay today. You haven't come in here with any worries and you're at peace. That's good. But you may know someone who isn't walking in peace, and you could be praying for them. So I'm just going to give you some time just to pour out any situation that's really worrying you to the Lord now. You can just whisper it out aloud. We're all going to do it all together. We're in it together. And then after that, we're going to thank him. And then I honestly believe that as we do this, as we reaffirm our trust in him, he's just going to come and go, I actually felt it when I was talking about perfect peacefulness. I could say, I can feel that, Lord. That's what he wants to pour out. And he wants to give us the authority to speak to storms, because we have the storm outside of us and we're at peace on the inside. And so Grant's just playing very quietly there, but why don't you just bring anything that's disturbing you to the Lord now? You can pray like those disciples. Don't you care? You know? We're about to drown. You know, one of the greatest fears that so many other fears stem out is from the fear of death, fear of premature death. But Jesus Christ has conquered death, and he wants to free us from the fear of death, bottom line, and so many other fears as well. So let's just spend a few moments. Thank you, Jesus. Make your prayer honest. Don't pretend. Be honest. And children, young people, you can do this too. Any children here? I can't see you too much. One in the front here and one's at the back, but mums and dads, encourage your children to do this as well. Pray with them. I tell you, our children, they're living in fearful times. And they need to know how to access God's peace. Yes. And of course, I haven't done anything today about peace and relationships, but one of the things you could be really worried about today is some broken relationship. And I tell you, Jesus wants restoration of relationships. So talk to him about it. Oh, yes. Mostly I've been talking about the situations that are outside of our control that we find ourselves in. But really, when I've ministered on peace, sometimes I do series on it because it's such a huge subject. So, Lord, thank you. And now what we could do, you might want to go home and talk more about this, but aware of time, why don't you just begin to thank him? Let's look back on your life and say, well, thank you, Lord, you delivered me from that storm. You would deliver me from this one. Well, thank him for the answers for this one. And Lord, I pray that as we're talking to you now, that you would just remind us of your word, drop your word and speak to your people, Lord. There's nothing like hearing your still small voice to calm us and bring peace. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Oh, I so sense that. He wants to speak to some of you. In the stillness, he's reminding you of his promises. For some of you, he's giving you a fresh word. I'm so pleased that God speaks more than once. You don't just have to depend on a 10-year-old, 20-year-old word. He can speak again. The Bible's full of it. He spoke a second time. So, Lord, I just thank you that right now you're speaking in a second word to someone in this place right now. Stillness of this moment. Are we ready to thank him now? Thank you. Just think of something that you can just thank him for. We can always come back to the cross and say, thank you, Jesus. You suffered like no one else on our behalf. And if he didn't do anything else for us, the fact what he did on the cross is enough. You know, sometimes if our prayers aren't answered the way they think they should be, I just go back and say, well, Lord, I can worship you because you died that horrible death for me. You rose again for me. There's always a place where we can come back and worship and give him thanks. So let's just thank him now. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you. Thank you for all the times, Lord, you've answered prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the times you've rescued us, you've delivered us. Thank you for the times you've ministered your peace to us. Lord, we're coming before you now and we're just so grateful. Grateful. Tell him you're grateful. There's numbers of verses in the New Testament that link peace with thanksgiving. You know? Begin to thank God. And it's a recipe for peace. It takes trust to give thanks. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Shabbosai. And now, I believe we can just put our hands out and say, Lord, we receive your peace. We receive your peace. Thank you for your peace, guarding our hearts, guarding our minds. Now, Lord, I speak to every storm in this room. Hush. Be still. Just breathe in his presence. There may be someone here, or someone listening actually online, and you say, I've never trusted in Jesus for anything, Sally. But the first place to learn to trust him is that he wants to be your Savior and your Lord. He wants to forgive you of your sin. He wants to give you eternal life. He wants to make you one of his own special kids. And so if you've never received him into your life before, you've never put your trust in Jesus for anything, this call is for you right now. So maybe anyone's got their hands down. So is anybody in this place right now that says, Sally, I want to begin my journey of trusting Jesus? Just raise your hands. If there's anyone like that at all in this place. We're all Christians. We all know we're children of God here. Because if you're not sure, you can always... If you've brought someone with you and you don't think they do know how to trust Jesus, you could always say, would you like me to help you? Because it begins, that's the beginning place, isn't it? When we begin to trust him, to forgive us, to cleanse us, we ask him into our life, we repent of our sin, and the new journey begins of trusting him. There may be someone online like that. Oh, you can just pray a simple prayer. Jesus, we could pray it together. Jesus, I want to begin my journey of trusting you. So I'm opening up my heart to you right now. And I need you. I repent and turn away from my sin. I'm so glad you died in my place. On the cross. And you rose again. So I invite you to come into my life. Make me one of your children. Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Forgive me for my sin. And thank you for eternal life. I want to get to know you more and more and more. So come, Holy Spirit, and flood my life now with your presence in Jesus' name. How many are already sensing that there's come a shift in your circumstances? You feel it? Yeah? There's a few hands up. This is what it is. But this is not just something you do in church. This is a life lesson. You can go home. You can put it into practice. It's homework, isn't it? You know, when you lose your peace, because you know when you do, like peace is an umpire, when it you know, when blows a whistle, you know, I've lost peace. Why? You know? And so if there's anyone here, as we close the meeting in a little minute, if there's anyone who says, well, I would really like more prayer, ministry team, if you're on deck, if there's anyone who would really like more prayer than just what we've been doing here, I have a sense that God's ministered to many of you, because I can just feel his peace in the room. Can you? Just beautiful. It's like a blanket over us. But if there's anyone who would like a bit more prayer, you're very welcome to come up at the end of the meeting.